Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you about loneliness as a wilderness. I don't know about you, but I have certainly felt that loneliness can be a real wilderness, a place of desolation, isolation, strangeness, a fearsome place, a place that most of us don't like to be. In one of my earlier talks, I spoke about loneliness as a sudden tide that just pours over us. Most of us have experienced that at some time in our lives. Late one night, I was wakened by a phone call from a young woman whom I didn't know, and she told me a long story. She said, "Have you got some time?" And I said, "Yes." I actually had quite a bit of time then, in the middle of the night. And so she began telling me her story. She told about how she was very successful in her work. Things had been going very well. And she had just now been told that she had an illness, which was probably going to be a progressive one, which was incurable. And she said, "It just seems very strange that God would allow a thing like this to happen when everything had been going so well." Immediately, when she used those words, "very strange," I thought of a time in my own life when I was on my knees praying and reading the passage in 1 Peter where he says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened. It happens to give you a share in Christ's sufferings." Now that touches on a tremendous mystery, that we are given a share in Christ's sufferings. But I tried to explain to this woman that although it seemed very strange to her because her expectations were very different from what the will of God had turned out to be, that it was not really strange to Him and that there was a purpose. To me, it makes a tremendous difference to know that nothing is for nothing, that there is a purpose. I remember another time when my niece, Beth, was staying in my house, and she used to do a lot of dating in those days. And one evening she came back, after midnight, and she would usually come back to my room and sit on my bed and tell me all about what had happened. And that night we got to talking about happiness and singleness, and she had, I'm not sure whether she'd had some proposals by that time or not, but she very much wanted to be married. And I pointed out to her that it was possible that God wanted her to remain single. And she said, "Oh, Aunt Betty," she said, "I don't think that's possible." And I said, "Why?" "Well, because," she said, "Jesus wants me to be happy, and I could never be happy unless I were married." And I said, "Now, wait a minute, Beth. Jesus wants you to be happy. Yes, I can agree with that. But Jesus' idea of happiness for you may be very different from your own definition. And He knows the true route to happiness, and you don't. He wants you to be happy, but perhaps in a very much deeper way than you can even imagine right now, when marriage seems to be the most important thing in the world." Well, poor Beth was in tears before we finished that conversation because she was afraid that God might not want her to have the one thing which would make her happy. Have you ever felt that way? I certainly remember my struggles with that awesome thing called the will of God. What if my will is always in conflict with God's will? What if God wants to take away from me everything that I want? What if nothing that I want fits in with His will? Well, let's look at it for a moment from a different perspective. Ancient man, the Greeks, for example, were concerned about goodness. Modern man is concerned about happiness. As I read my Bible, I am convinced that in God's book, goodness and happiness ultimately come to the same thing. But it has to be His definition of goodness and His definition of happiness. The best place for us to take our cues as to how we are supposed to live is the life of Jesus. We're talking about loneliness. Did Jesus really experience loneliness? Yes, He most certainly did. It was at the beginning of His public ministry that He was baptized, you may remember, by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. And at the time of His baptism, the Holy Spirit descended on Him in the form of a dove, and the voice of God was heard, saying, "This is My beloved Son, hear Him." And right after that, have you ever noticed the sequence of events here? Jesus, it says, was led by that same Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Think about that. He had just been baptized. God had just validated who He was by saying, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." And then God, the Holy Spirit, leads Him into a very strange place for a very strange purpose, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And we're told elsewhere in Scripture that Jesus was tempted in every point in which you and I are. The Bible tells us that He was there in the wilderness with the angels and the wild beasts. There was a time when the idea of being alone in the wilderness with the wild beasts sounded pretty scary to me. But when I came to love a little black dog by the name of Macduff, I remember sitting in my chair one day reading this passage about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness and looking down into the face of that bright-eyed little black dog who had little pointy ears and a little square beard and thinking, "You're a little wild beast. You're one of God's creatures. He designed you. He made you. You're not a person. You're a little animal. But you were assigned to me. God assigned Macduff for my comfort and my pleasure." And I couldn't help but think, Jesus was a friend of the wild beasts. There could not possibly have been any animosity between Him and the beasts of the wilderness. He was the one who had made them. And so it seems to me that very likely God sent Him not only angels to comfort Him and watch over Him and meet His needs, but the wild beasts to comfort Him. But there weren't any people. He was lonely in that sense. In some of my lonely times, I was comforted by Macduff. Not that Macduff could meet my heart's needs. Even a person can't meet my deepest heart's needs. Only God can do that. But God has all kinds of ministers whom He appoints for our comfort and our help. Jesus was with the wild beasts in the wilderness, and then, you remember, somebody came to meet Him. And that somebody was His arch enemy, Satan. You may be in a wilderness of loneliness today. It may be very possible that Satan, in some form, has come to you for the same reason that he came to Jesus, to tempt Him. And he makes right seem impossible, and he makes wrong seem very attractive. Do you know what I mean? Satan offered Jesus all the essentials for, quote, happiness, unquote. Happiness in the sense in which the world defines it. The essentials for happiness, the world would say, are the satisfaction of physical desire. There's nothing better than sex in some people's minds. How about food? How about lying on the beach and getting a suntan? How about scuba diving or water skiing or hang gliding? Essentials for happiness, satisfaction of physical desires, that's what Satan offered Jesus. He said, you can turn these stones into bread if you want to. And Jesus' reply was, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He offered him also immunity from danger. Wouldn't you love to have that? Perfect security. And he offered him, thirdly, all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And I take that to mean everything that the world has to offer. Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Is there anything else you want? That's exactly what Satan was offering to Jesus in the wilderness of his loneliness. And there are times when Satan comes to us with great power and makes right seem impossible and wrong seem very attractive. At such a time, we need to answer him in exactly the way Jesus did Satan. He went right back to the written word of God. Open your Bible and tell Satan, it is written. It is written.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. This is Joy Raley, inviting you back for more encouragement and challenge with Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.